brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
ScienceandPublicPolicy.org is his website. It is excellent, chock full of key, real hard data. Lord Christopher Monckton, 3rd Viscount of Brenchley, of Monckton and Brenchley, and he was a UK Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher's one of the chief policy advisors, so many other important positions. He has since been a director of his own specialist consultancy company, giving technical advice to corporations and governments. And he is also an award-winning researcher. But rather than go over his lengthy pedigree and amazing research, let's go directly to Lord Monckton, joining us from the United Kingdom. Sir, it is wonderful to have you with us.
It's great to be with you.
Amazing. We've got you for a full hour. Our listeners are just absolutely in ecstasy right now because you and your clear, straight, piercing voice and intellect have been one of the main people just annihilating these frauds. It's good to have you with us.
Well, flattery will get you everywhere. You can get up off your knees now, take off the white gloves, and you no longer need to touch your forelock.
Well, I don't want my children to be slaves to the UN and a global government tax, and so I got to tell you, sir, we popped champagne last week when it came out those emails were real, and I would imagine you were popping some champagne.
Well, we've been following the people named in these emails for years. We thought they were linked, and of course these emails establish exactly how they were linked. And it's very, very interesting because we had suspected there were just about 24 people who, round the world, mostly this side of the Atlantic and in America, who were putting this global warming scam together and actually driving it rather than doing what the likes of Al Gore and the politicians do, just drifting along with it because they don't know any better. These are the people who have known all along that there isn't a problem. And they've been bending the data and admitting to each other they've been bending the data for the sake of concealing the fact that their data are no good.
Absolutely. And I mean, this really proves a conspiracy here, doesn't it? You have called for the prosecution of the climate criminals. You were the first. Now many other representatives from Australia to the United States are calling for criminal investigations.
There's going to have to be a criminal investigation by the information commissioner, whose job is to make sure that publicly available information is available to the public and that officials like these creeps in the Climate Research Center and their colleagues all over the United States as well were prevented from hiding, destroying, tampering with, shuffling away the data which we paid for, and it therefore belongs to us. And they used a series of excuses. They said, well, there's a Data Protection Act. They said the data belonged to other countries' weather bureaus. Hey, this is weather data. It's not a state secret. They were trying to say that they were emailing each other. They were saying, we are not going to give this data to anybody. They were even saying they wouldn't write any learned papers for journals which required, as part of the peer review process, that all the data and all the computer code and all the intermediate calculations should be shown and archived so that other scientists could check it. They were determined that other scientists shouldn't be allowed to check their work because they knew that they were simply making things up. These people are financial fraudsters. They took at least $20 million that we can trace in recent years in so-called grants for so-called scientific research, and they did it on the basis of a financial and scientific fraud. So they should not only be locked up for concealing and destroying data that had been requested under the Freedom of Information Act by other scientists, they should also be locked up for financial fraud and international racketeering.
Well said, sir. We're going to come right back after this quick break with a long segment. I would like to blow by blow get your detailed knowledge of this, some of the history, who these people are, what their bigger goals are, and then specifically right through ClimateGate, all the different sectors of fraud that they have engaged in, like covering up the FOIA request, persecuting scientists, colluding to persecute people, which is racketeering, which is extortion, fraud, grant fraud, and now their response saying, so what?
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun-caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty, and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today, it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hello, at OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, for the rest of the hour, Lord Christopher Monckton, 3rd Viscount of Monckton and Brenchley, worked at the highest levels of the UK government at 10 Downing Street, one of the chief advisors to then Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. You can find out more about his bio by visiting his website. We'll give that out again repeatedly before he leaves us. But some stations just joined us recapping. Lord Monckton, tell us about yourself. You've been talking about this for more than a decade. And now what ClimateGate means, the different sectors of fraud, and how you believe from your perspective this should be prosecuted.
For those who haven't come across ClimateGate, this was the release of a large number of emails between about two dozen malevolent, crooked scientists right at the top of the climatological tree. These are the people who, between them, have conspired to invent and then maintain the scare of global warming. And the emails came from the University of East Anglia's Climatic Research Centre, which specialises in calculating the global temperature record for the whole world over the last 150 years since we first began having what one might call global instrumental coverage with thermometers all over the world. And it's quite a complex process because very few of the temperature stations remain in the same place for any length of time. They come in and out. Some work, some stop working, some don't report properly, some don't report at all. Whole chunks of Russia disappeared in 1990 when the Berlin Wall came down. So it's very difficult, actually, to make sense of all this data. But unfortunately, what they were doing at the Climate Research Center, with active assistance from many other climate scientists around the world was they were simply making up the 20th century record of temperatures. So we don't even know how much warmer it has got over the 20th century. We know, broadly speaking, it's got warmer because it's been getting warmer for 300 years, nothing to do with us. But we didn't know how much. And the whole idea of having this very elaborate international network of temperature stations with people going and looking in little boxes and making a note of the temperature every day and then phoning their local weather bureau and that then being passed on to just two or three places around the world, of which East Anglia was one, where they compiled these records. This was an enormously elaborate piece of work. And then when it got to East Anglia and the other and the two American universities where this was processed, what they did then, as we now know, because we've seen their computer code and we've seen their data, they didn't store the data properly. They didn't keep it in an organized form. They didn't know by the end of it what their own computer programs were doing, but they were processing all of the data several times over, and it had become a complete mess. And essentially, they were simply making up the temperature increases of the last 20 years. It is simply a fiction. It's science fiction.
Well, expanding on that, and of course you obviously have read the emails, they talk about temperatures are dropping. How do we fix it? How do we spin it? How do we hide the decline? And then, of course, there's the whole area of how they're talking about keeping people out of journals, persecuting journals, blocking FOIA requests, working with government officials to block this information from the public. I mean, this is racketeering.
It is racketeering. I think it does. It is nicely covered by your RICO statute. And funny enough, we have just put a new act on the statute book a few years ago called the Fraud Act. And this is fraud on our side of the Atlantic and racketeering, as you would call it, on yours. These are people who deserve to go to prison for a very long time. And I'll tell you why I'm so angry about it, because this is a point that's nearly always forgotten in all the commentaries about climate change. That global warming isn't killing anyone and it isn't going to kill anyone. What is killing people and killing them by the million of starvation now is the effect of the global warming scare. Because many nations, including the United States, have taken up to a third of their agricultural land out from growing food for people who needed it to growing biofuels for clunkers that didn't. And that has meant in the last year or two a doubling, and I mean a doubling, of world food prices. And the World Bank says that nearly all of that doubling of world food prices is directly attributable to the biofuel scam, which in turn is directly caused by the global warming scare and governments saying, well, even if it isn't true, we've got to take precautions. But you have to remember, you also have to take precautions to check that the precautions you're taking are not killing people by the million, which is what this policy of biofuels is actually doing.
And by the way,
all of this scare comes out from these idiots and these crooks and these criminals. I'm very sorry, I'm not kind of keeping my normal calm self here.
No, please.
I am so incandescent with fury that these people whom we as British taxpayers and you as American taxpayers have been paying to do this work, and we have been trusting them to do it right, they have simply not only been making it up, but as you rightly say, they have been tampering with the peer review process, trying to interfere with reviewers to persuade them to pass or not to pass papers they didn't like. They've been trying to bully journal editors whom they don't like into resigning and getting the boards of the papers to appoint the learned journals to appoint somebody else more agreeable to them. They've been interfering with the process of the UN's climate panel itself by saying in one case, here are two papers we don't like because they show that we're wrong. We will make sure that these papers do not ever get anywhere near the UN climate report for 2007, even if we have to redefine the peer review process in order to do it. That's how far they've gone, to bend the entire process of scientific research at every level, from the gathering of the data to the storage of the data to the processing of the data to making the data available to other people to writing up the data to doing the papers explaining what it means, calculating the temperatures, putting the papers in the peer-reviewed journals, trying to interfere with the peer-reviewed journals, interfering with the process of the UN climate panel itself. It is a conspiracy from top to bottom, run by extremely powerful scientists who had got away for decades with challenging anyone who dared to argue with them by saying, you're not a scientist, you don't know what you're talking about, we're not going to pay any attention to you. They've said that to me and about me time and again. They described me in one of their emails as a charlatan. Well, I don't mind insults, but these people are charlatans themselves. Pot calls kettle black. These people deserve to be locked up, and locked up for a very, very, very long time, and never, ever again to be allowed to hold any position of public trust or be paid a single penny of taxpayers' money.
Well, Lord Monckton, that's the point, is there's so much fraud, as I sit here and research it, saying that polar bears couldn't swim when they're the greatest land swimmer and hunt on the ice floes, and their numbers have exploded. Fact, local news in Austin last night said the polar bears are all dying. Total fraud, lying with the hockey stick, Al Gore putting the graph together, knowing that carbon dioxide comes after warming, lying about that, and then saying all scientists agreed with them and pointing to their 2,500 pets when it was only three universities, as you pointed out, producing the fraud. The others just signed on to the fraud, believing it. Then we have them calling people climate deniers, saying people need to be locked up who disagree with them, clearly authoritarian. I mean, this is outrageous. And now the U.S. climate czar in the Washington Times says hacked emails don't change anything. And I've seen London Guardian articles where they're whining, talking about how you and others are persecuting the poor scientists when they're in the emails talking about how to persecute you.
That's right, and I'm going to go on persecuting them, if that's the way they like to call it. I am going to go on because whether they like it or not, as they've done more than anyone to try to stop the world continuing to be free, well, we've had people like James Hansen, you've just quoted him, saying that people like me should be placed on trial for high crimes against humanity. Hey, I'm not the person killing people by starvation worldwide because of mad policies based on bad science. That's what they're doing. And they have got to go on trial for high crimes against humanity because what they have been doing is they have been recklessly and deliberately making up science, falsifying science, then doing their best to use the cover of the Data Protection Act and government privilege to prevent people from other scientists from legitimately asking to get the data, which they then said they would destroy rather than giving it out. It is at every level a howling outrage. How we deal with it, I think that there are going to have to be prosecutions on this side of the Atlantic, indictments on your side. People are going to have to go to jail and be put on trial, not only for fraud, but I think we're going to need to send some of them to the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. Because so many people are dying in the poorest countries as a direct result of the lunatic policy being pursued by half-witted governments peopled with scientifically illiterate and innumerate sickos who don't know any science, and therefore they have a kind of white coat syndrome. A scientist comes along and tells them something, and they simply believe it, particularly if it happens to suit their political predilection, which means on the whole, it's much easier to persuade the left of the nonsense these people have been peddling than it is the right, who tend to be more skeptical of this kind of thing. But even on the right, like our government here and like Malcolm Turnbull, the opposition in the United States, in Australia, that they have been taking the side of the climate wreckers, these people who are making up the data. And instead of saying, right, now we can see, you know, the scales have been lifted from our eyes, we can see we have been deceived. And therefore, we are going to cancel the Copenhagen conference. We're not going to go. We're not going to have a Copenhagen treaty. They're all going to go anyway. It was literally 2 days after these emails exploded all over the web. Of course, they didn't really get into the mainstream media, which had been telling the other story and can't bear to admit they got it wrong. But the internet had exploded with these emails. 2 days after that, President Obama announces, oh, I'm going to Copenhagen. We've got to save the planet. What planet is he trying to save? It was saved 2,000 years ago, and it certainly doesn't need to be saved now by President Obama. Thank you very much.
Yeah, these fraudsters go even further, billing Al Gore in Newsweek as the prophet, his plan for the Earth. He's going to save us. When we come back, I want to get into the point you made about people dying. Anyone can Google and find mainstream university reports where if they make moderate carbon dioxide cuts in industry, 1 billion third world people will die in the next decade. That is a conservative estimate. And we have the Royal Commission on Population from the 40s discussing this. We have...
This is Big John Lipscomb. World government and all its tyranny is rapidly approaching. The choices you make today will determine your level of suffering and freedom tomorrow. I have two solutions for you, so you and your family can stay strong and free. PatriotFood.com. 135 pounds of long-lasting dehydrated food in 25 varieties. That's one-fourth the cost of many freeze-dried offers of the same weight. And SurvivalistSeeds.com, where I just released my best offer ever. 7,000 heirloom vegetable seeds, 30 varieties of vegetables. That's over 4 pounds of seed, and I ship it in a time capsule so they will last decades. And now you can get a second for a $60 savings. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Anything else is just a copycat.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
From the company that brought you solar and preparedness quality you could bet your life on for over 15 years, now comes the best sale ever on Mountain House Foods. Right now, ReadyMadeResources.com has all Mountain House Foods on sale at 25% off. Go to ReadyMadeResources.com to see the variety of our quality Mountain House Foods in a wide selection for every taste, now at 25% off. And that includes free shipping on case lots. Mountain House Foods have a 25-year shelf life and are easy to prepare. Just add water for great tasting snacks or meals. Yes, there is a catch. This 25% off sale only lasts through November 30th. Hurry. Go to ReadyMadeResources.com or call toll free 1-800-627-3809 and mention GCN to get 25% off per case of Mountain House Foods with free shipping. That's 800-627-3809 or go to ReadyMadeResources.com. Hurry. Sale ends November 30th.
Lord Monckton is our guest. He is going to Copenhagen. I just talked to him. He's going to be gracious enough to give us a report from Copenhagen. This is just amazing. This is a short segment, long segment coming up to get into plenty of information, but I don't want to just skip over the fact that global warming, man-made global warming, is meant to destroy industrial society, as Maurice Strong has said. Sir, can you go over just briefly some of the evidence of what this will do. From their own words, they want to shut down the industrial society and have a global government. In their own words, as Von Rompuy had just said last week, the new EU chief, to bring in global governance, where this group of bureaucrats become the new kings and queens over a giant tyranny.
That's exactly what the aim has been. Sir Maurice Strong, who was a Canadian bureaucrat at the UN 25 years ago, it was he who decided that setting up the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change as a political body rather than a scientific one would be the Trojan horse by which the UN could achieve its long-held ambition of turning itself into a dictatorial world government. And a few weeks ago, thanks to a very diligent scientist called Willie Soon at the Harvard Smithsonian Institute for Astrophysics, I was able to get hold of an advanced copy of the draft Treaty of Copenhagen, which I'm going to go to Copenhagen to try to negotiate away next week. But there'll be 200 countries there, 250 UN bureaucracies, different bureaucracies will be there, let alone how many bureaucrats in each bureaucracy. A huge jamboree. And in the draft treaty, it said they were going to set up a world government. The word government actually appears in the treaty in this context for the first time that I've ever seen it. And I've negotiated quite a few of these treaties in the past. And it's going to give this government the power to control all formerly free markets, a point which Von Rompuy, the new dictator of Europe, has also just said. He doesn't want free markets anymore. He wants it regulated. And that's what they're going to do to markets all around the world, all in the name of saving the planet from a problem we know is no longer a real problem.
Well, that's what Ban Ki-moon said in the New York Times 3 weeks ago. He said the UN will control world resources and a global government.
That's exactly their ambition. They want nothing less than total world domination, to use the old phrase. And rather than doing it by going to war, as they would have had to in the old days, like Alexander of Macedon or Adolf Hitler or Napoleon, all these people with more ambitions than taste, they want to do it by a bureaucratic, stealthy coup d'etat. What they did was they hid this draft treaty as an annex to a two-page note by the Secretariat of the Conference of the States Parties to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, buried on a UN website. That's where Willie Soon, who reads everything, thank heaven, found it. He saw it, sent it straight to me, and I discovered in the annex to this note 186 pages of a draft treaty, which they had kept secret by putting it openly on a website but burying it as an annex without saying it was there. So that when they had eventually pushed this treaty through, they were going to turn round with looks of surprise on their faces and say, what do you mean we hadn't published it? It's been on our website for weeks. That's the sort of game these shabby people play to try to trick us into giving up our freedom, our democracy, and our prosperity. And, of course, the UN, the US Constitution would be made subject to this new treaty. If this treaty is signed by Obama, even if the Senate doesn't ratify it, and I don't think the Senate now will, because I've been into the Senate and talked to several senators, and I said, you sign this, it's over the dead body of the American Constitution, don't do it. And I don't think they will. I've spoken to several of them now. The trouble is, though, that Obama might just say, well, I have signed this treaty using my executive authority as president, and I am either going to enact it into domestic law by a simple majority of both houses as an ordinary domestic law, or I'm going to go to the Supreme Court and say, look, the trend of law is towards global governance and dictatorship now. Democracy has had its day. And the Supreme Court, as at present constituted, which hates democracy with a passionate and abiding loathing, will go along with him, I fear, and grant him his wish. So the important thing is that when he goes to Copenhagen, we have to do everything in our power to try to stop him signing the American Constitution and your freedom and your democracy away. Because if your freedom goes down the pan, then so does the freedom of the rest of the world.
Well said. And many members of the Supreme Court have said they want global government in USA Today, that we should follow the orders of the UN. So we are in grave danger. We now see the European Treaty being implemented by stealth, not letting the British people have a vote. And Obama saying he's going to use the federal bureaucracy to to implement by piecemeal many parts of these global treaties. Schwarzenegger is banning and taxing television sets over their carbon footprint. So it appears that they're trying to force this, even if they can't do it legislatively. Lord Christopher Monckton is our guest. He is the third vice count, Monckton of Brenchley. We're going to come right back and get into the master plan.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
For the past year, you've heard about GardenInACan.com right here on GCN. GardenInACan.com is your source for premium non-hybrid and non-genetically modified seeds. Each order includes 16 carefully selected varieties made specifically for both spring and fall, giving you an extended growing season. You'll receive approximately 18,000 seeds, giving you the ability to plant a crisis garden of up to two-thirds of an acre. Every order is hermetically sealed to lock in freshness and sealed again in a large metal can for the ultimate protection, giving you a shelf life of up to 10 years. For a limited time, while supplies last, GardenInACan.com is having a sale. Order your Garden in a Can for only $49.95. That's right, $49.95. If you have a preparedness plan and it does not include long-term storable garden seeds, this is the best time to acquire your seeds. Take advantage of this great offer and order now. Visit GardenInACan.com. That's GardenInACan.com.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
I have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
The fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hi, this is Steve Shank. Alex and I have talked about food security for your family for years. Now we're into the holiday season, the happy time of year when friends and family come together and food is always the expression of our shared love and caring. Here's an exciting announcement. From now until December 15th, all products that eFoods Direct provides are listed at 10% off the regular price. The holiday season is the time for peace, happiness, and security. What better way to ensure fearless hope for the future of our families than to have as much good food in our homes as possible? This year, in addition to the overall 10% savings, the holiday special is made up of the new prepared meals that taste great. It also comes with a free 7-day responder for you to give to someone less fortunate or as a gift. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633. We here at eFoods Direct wish you peace, security, and plenty this holiday season.
We will not be forgotten. We won't be left behind.
ScienceandPublicPolicy.org. ScienceandPublicPolicy.org. One word is the website, Lord Christopher Monckton's website. He's with us for another 26 minutes. He's going to be reporting here for us coming on when he's in Copenhagen. We're lining that up. So very important that he be there with his measured focus, like a laser beam intellect, exposing these people. He's been fighting them for decades. And, of course, laying out that their science was fraud because scientists would get the raw data and it didn't match what this pet university used by the UN to put out this fraud was saying. But, sir, I mean, you're someone who I know doesn't, you know, want the credit, but you deserve the credit, literally setting bushfires in the minds of men, as Thomas Jefferson said, here in the United States and Canada with your tour. Perfect fate. Or providence building up to these wonderful leakers, probably not hackers, leakers, inside this head climatology bureau at East Anglia. I mean, just amazing. Can you speak to that? And then, number two, to the mindset of Maurice Strong. I talked to you during a break. You said you had read Eco-Science and their calls for world population reduction, drugging the water, just a planetary regime to carry out the police state and then the world population reduction. Lord Monckton.
Let's go back to the book that John Holdren, who is the current so-called science czar, of course, we would call him a commissar. That's what he is. You know, he's a communist, this guy, and an openly admitted communist. And he's the science advisor to the President of the United States, can you believe it? He, with Paul Ehrlich, wrote a book 30 years ago in which he said that because of humankind's influence on the climate, there was going to be rapid global cooling in the next 10 years, he said. And this was going to cause so much ice to pile up on Antarctica that it would fall off and fall into the water and cause a tidal wave bigger than any ever seen in human history. And I'm actually quoting from the book when I say that. That was his view 30 years ago. Now, with seamless mendacity, he now says that what we're facing is global warming, also from human influence on the climate. And actually, there is no more basis whatsoever for saying that there's going to be global warming than there is global cooling. I checked that with Professor Dick Lindzen of MIT, who knows more about the atmosphere than anyone and doesn't believe a word of either the global cooling or the global warming story. And he says, if you want to take a bet, he said it's 50-50 whether it will be warmer than today or cooler than today in 50 years' time. He said there's no way you can tell. And all these people telling us that if we don't clean up our act, it's somehow going to become warmer, when they were previously telling us it was going to become cooler. How can anyone like Holdren stand up with a straight face and expect anyone to believe him? But they do, because they know that the mainstream media are now so left-wing, so captured by the desire to set up this communistic world government, to do away with democracy forever by stealth, using the excuse of saving the planet, that they will drift along with it. If you take people like Sir Maurice Strong, what's in it for him? He's made a lot of money out of it over the years. In fact, he was done under the UN World Oil for Food Programme at one stage for having put his fingers in the till. These are the people now who are lording it over us. And in the British understanding of the term aristocracy, it comes from the Greek word rule by the best, oi aristoi, the best. Now we have what I call a kakistocracy of blackguards. It's ruled by the worst. People who have absolutely no moral principle. They don't care how many people they kill with their policies. They don't care that countries in the third world are going to be poor and are going to be starved. There is a direct correlation between the amount of CO2 that you burn in a nation per head of population and the longevity and prosperity of the population. The more CO2 you burn, the longer you live. The less CO2 you burn, the more your children die young. These figures are absolutely plain, and it is an outrage that people like Holdren dare to say that they want to stop the world from burning CO2 when they must know that the consequence of that policy will be to do what is already happening, to kill people in the poorer countries who need, above all else, to use fossil fuels to lift themselves out of poverty, because it's only if you do lift yourself out of poverty and become reasonably prosperous as a population as a whole, not just a few elite in the middle, but the whole population becoming more prosperous, that, and only that, is what stabilizes the population and reduces the world's footprint on the planet and allows other creatures to live with us without being crowded out.
So but Lord Monckton,
that we go on burning fossil fuels.
Lord Monckton, I mean, the fraud is so obvious, where they were saying global cooling, then it was global warming, now they say climate change, the oceans are going to turn into acid. I mean, they keep saying the science is all settled when they're all manifest quack frauds who all of them write books about planetary governments forcibly cutting off resources to kill the majority of us, drugging our water supplies to sterilize us. I mean, these people are Hitlerian. And when, and as you know, being a man of letters in history, that Hitler got his ideas from the eugenicists in England and the United States, and that these are simply a bunch of little Hitlers masquerading as liberal bleeding hearts. They are murderous criminal control freaks.
Well, you put that even more strongly than I would, I think. I think there is certainly an element of deliberate desire to control population by killing people in large numbers deliberately if necessary. I don't think they care about that as long as they're not among those who get killed. And I think we do have to try to persuade the third world countries when they go to Copenhagen that they should not sign this treaty. It's been very carefully tailored, this treaty, so that they think in the third world countries that they're going to make a lot of money out of it from the Western countries. And that's why they, many of them, are going to say, well, you know, maybe there is this climate problem, maybe there isn't, but if we're going to make some money out of it, we'll pretend that there is. And, of course, that would be the most terrible thing for them to do, because they will be the first victim of this policy of making the world poorer. If you make the rich poorer, then you make the poor poorer still, and they will end up not just scratching around for a bare existence, they will be dying. That's already happening. And anybody who really cares about his fellow man in the poorer countries must always oppose this nonsense about not burning fossil fuels. Fossil fuels are harmless. CO2 is a naturally occurring trace gas. And to take up your point about ocean acidification, which you've just mentioned, that's their fallback position. We've now had 15 years with no global warming. We've had 9 years of rapid global cooling, though they've been doing their best to conceal that. In public, they've been saying, oh, but 8 of the last 10 years or 10 of the last 12 years have been the warmest on the record, without telling us the record only goes back 150 years. But then they say internally, oh, look, you know, Moncton is right. The temperatures really have been falling for 9 years, and we can't explain it, and what a travesty that is. So publicly, they're saying the science is settled, you're all doomed unless you close down the economies of the West, whereas privately, they're saying to each other, we've got it wrong, that none of this adds up, and it's a travesty that we can't explain it. And so they now say ocean acidification is the problem. No, it isn't. There has been 20 times as much CO2 in the atmosphere as there is today. Let us go back, say, to the Cambrian era, 550 million years ago. Ah, yes, I remember it well. At that time, 20 times as much CO2 in the atmosphere as there is today. And that was the time when the calcite corals first came into existence. So all this bedwetting nonsense about the corals dissolving in 20 years, as Al Gore has been saying, because of ocean acidification, there is no scientific basis for that at all. It physically can't happen because CO2 is only ranked in the substances in the sea that could in theory affect the acid-base balance, but it in fact serves a role as the pivot or hinge around which all the others operate, and you can add as much CO2 to the ocean as you like, and it simply won't make any difference to the acid-base balance. The whole thing's nonsense.
Lord Moncton, going through a bunch of subjects, I want to play a clip in a moment of Herman Van Rompuy, the new EU head of this expanded dictatorial EU. I'd like you to talk about the nature of the world government, because some liberals say, oh, a wonderful world government, peace, peace. This, as you say, is a dictatorial group of control freaks, the type of world they want to build. But is this not the Achilles heel? Because if we have Van Rompuy, and if we have Ban Ki-moon, the head of the UN, and all of these top New World Order globalists saying the global carbon tax, environmental, neo-feudalistic serf system is the key to our world government, exposing then their carbon tax as a fraud will kill 30 years of a program they've been building in the background. And why do you think they're now coming out of the closet and admitting world government?
I think they're admitting it simply because they were caught out. There's no doubt that they had hoped that that treaty would stay on the website and they hoped that nobody would see it. But they wanted to put it there so that they couldn't be accused afterwards of not having let the public know what they were going to do. That's why they did that. And I happened to find out about it. I then, first of all, got it in the national press in Canada, all over the front page of the National Post. Then when I went to the States, I did the same there with a speech in St. Paul, Minnesota, where somebody filmed the peroration, just 4 minutes, put it up on the web, and 4 million people have seen that now. And I think what has happened is we've panicked them. And so now they're coming out trying to reassure us that global governance isn't such a bad idea after all. Previously, they weren't going to tell us about this. They were going to put that treaty in place. And then we would suddenly wake up and found we were ruled by some ghastly group of little Hitlers in Geneva or somewhere. and that none of our democratically elected governments could do anything about it. We know what it feels like in the UK, because that's what they did to us with the EU. They told us it was just going to be a free trade area, and it turned into a bureaucratic monster. I was talking, in fact, to the past president of the EU, a wonderful man who is the president of the Czech Republic, Václav Klaus, about this in Washington the other day. We were attending a conference together on the climate, organized by the Washington Times. And he made a wonderful speech there, and I asked him, I said, look, doesn't the whole arrangement at Copenhagen, this treaty that they're proposing to put in place, doesn't it look very much like a reinvention of communism to you? And he stopped and thought, and this is a man who presided over the collapse of communism in his country. He brought it to freedom and was its second president after he won their freedom. So he really knows what it's like to be on the wrong end of the extreme left and communism. And he thought for a moment and he said, well, okay, so we can't yet say that it's going to be as brutal as communism was. But he said, apart from that, the similarities between communism and this treaty are far too many and far too close for comfort. I thought that was a very good answer.
Well, sir, I mean, how can we not look at the police states being erected across the Western world, the surveillance, the citizen spies, British parents having to get a license to go to a public playground with their children, warrantless DNA checkpoints here in the United States. I mean, clearly, we see a world government forming by the bureaucracy that is to be enforced at the barrel of a gun.
Well, I'll tell you what I think we can do about it, because I think we now need to organize. And I think what we need to do is to form the first worldwide political party. And this worldwide political party, which will operate and fight elections in every country, will simply be called the Freedom Party. And it will fight this international, creeping, communistic bureaucracy wherever it finds it, and it will stand up for freedom and its two handmaidens, democracy and prosperity. And every time these people try to take it away, we in the Freedom Party will stop them. And I think that now is the time. I think people are all over the world absolutely fed up to the back teeth with the bureaucratic political class lording it over them in this way, in a way far more intrusive than anything the aristocracy of old used to do or even could do. They're using all the weapons, as you rightly say, of modern surveillance. We have more cameras snooping over the British people than in all the other countries of Europe added together. This is a real police state here. Now, I can't get onto the BBC to say what I'm saying to you. They rang up yesterday and invited me to go on the air, and then within 5 minutes they'd rung up and cancelled. And the reason why was I was going to go on to debate with the leader of the Green Party. And the moment she heard I was coming, she said to the BBC, don't let him on because he'll beat me if he comes on. Let me go on my own because I'll say what you, the BBC, want me to say. And so they cancelled not me, the one who was willing to debate, but her, the one that wasn't. They cancelled me, and they let her go on. That's how it now is.
Isn't this a form of...
The broadcasters here are subservient to the government.
Well, the BBC still, that I've seen, won't report on the email gate, and as you know and reported, sir, they got these 5 weeks before and refused to publish them.
That is another horrifying story, because in the old days, if you were a journalist and some news came your way, even if it was news that you didn't agree with politically, you knew what news was. You reported it. You could add caveats that maybe it was stolen. You could add caveats that maybe you didn't approve of it, but you still reported it. The BBC is now so politicized, so utterly the creature of the communistic bureaucratic class that now runs the whole of Europe, whether our elected governments like it or not, and far too many of them do like it, we no longer have free speech on the air in this country. And in most of the newspapers won't touch it either. There's only been two newspapers here that have really reported in any depth what is in these emails. The rest of them have loftily remained, they're still wittering on about how the global warming will spread malaria or drown the Maldives or cause floods and droughts, or melt the Arctic ice cap and make the poor polar bears suffer. There are five times as many polar bears now as there were 40 years ago, hardly, as you may think, the profile of a species in imminent threat of extinction.
And Lord Monckton, as you say, that is an official government number. They're all over the place. And I have seen in the last week, since these emails got leaked, an intensification of scientists coming out and saying, we're all dead, pass it now. It seems like they are panicking, and a lot of people that were on the fence about this are really starting to wake up because of the ridiculous, alarmist statements by Al Gore and others.
I think there is definitely now the stink of desperation in the alarmist shrieking noises that we're hearing. They know they've been rumbled. They know they've been found out. They know the bunco booth is about to be closed down. And their little scam, in fact, rather a large scam, is no longer going to go any further. And they are absolutely desperate to try to force this treaty through in Copenhagen. They're going to try to make sure that Obama never reads about the emails from the Climate Research Unit. You know, they have so many other things to read, these heads of state. If the bureaucrats don't want them to know about something, they can make sure they don't find out about it. And Obama probably doesn't even know these emails have happened. Even if he does know, I don't think he would care, but I don't think they will have even told him. Because he wants to be able to have plausible deniability. Oh, gee, I never knew that when I went ahead and signed this treaty, which ended our Constitution.
Plausible deniability.
Jefferson earlier. May I quote Jefferson to you?
Yes, sir.
He is the founder of Obama's party, the founder of the Democrat Party, and this is what he said. He said, I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every tyranny over the mind of man. Now what we're faced with is a tyranny worldwide over the mind and body of man. And it is the duty of every red-blooded United States citizen to oppose with every fiber of his being what is being done in his name by this administration to try to sign away your constitution. At Copenhagen, I went onto the Hill recently, and I went to see one of your greatest constitutional experts. He's a young lawyer. All you can see in his office is piles of books everywhere. And he sat me down on a pile of books, as it happened. And even before I'd sat down, he said, this treaty trumps the United States Constitution. This, he said, will be the end of the United States as we know it. That is how close your country is going to come to being extinguished. Ours has largely already gone because the European commissars, whom we don't elect, now make 90% of our laws. But I don't want to see the beacon of freedom to the rest of the world, which is what the United States is. I don't want to see the United States going the same way. So if you are listening to this radio station, then get off your bottom, get out of that lounger, get a pen and paper, get hold of the number of the U.S. Senate, and ring the U.S. Senate, and ask to speak to both of your senators. Do not be fobbed off with an intern or a secretary. Make sure you speak to a senior staffer, at least, the senator himself, if possible, and make it known that the Treaty of Copenhagen shall not pass. That's what you can do in the week that you have remaining to save your country and its democracy and the world's freedom that depends on your democracy.
Well said, Lord Monckton. Absolutely incredible. Again, you're a godsend. At the time, you exploded on the scene after years of speaking out. You know, it caught fire in the minds of men and women everywhere. Then these emails and documents, the code coming out where there's notes by the programmers how to engage in fraud, the notes about persecution, emails with John P. Holdren in there, and all this news in the Times of London, billionaire club and bid to curb overpopulation, secret meetings by the elites. And that's my next question for you, sir, in the time we have left. I mean, you've worked at the highest levels of the British government for 10 Downing Street as a top advisor to Margaret Thatcher. You're a high-level lord in the House of Lords. You have a great old British family behind you. You know a lot of the elites. What is the real split in the power structure? Because we know the socialist, communist, globalists don't have full control yet. They're trying to get it now. What is the real power structure? Who are the – because we see George Soros. We see – a lot of other big, rich billionaires, the Rockefellers, behind this man-made climate change, global government move. Bottom line, who are these people to humanity? Who are they to you? Who are the real enemies of humanity?
The enemies of humanity are those who think that they know best what's good for you the little guy. You and me, the little guy. They think they know best what is good for us. Anybody who has that attitude does not deserve to hold our high office, but all too often they do. And it is very important to understand how arrogant these people are. But there is always hope, because although money, such as that which George Soros has, or Bill Gates at Microsoft, any of these people who have, in one way or another, indicated their belief in the global warming nonsense, although money buys you power, it doesn't buy you the long-term influence by which alone humankind advances. And that is governed entirely by those who generate ideas. And that is something which people who simply want power for themselves are very seldom capable of doing. And so in the end, I'm not frightened that we have communism, if you like, re-emerging from behind the Berlin Wall and now spreading into every aspect of every Western democracy's life. Because, of course, that's what's happening. Extreme left, when they burst into tears as they saw their cherished Berlin Wall coming down, and they realized that freedom was going to spread into Eastern Europe, whether they liked it or not, and my goodness, they did not like it. They're the people of Eastern Europe.
The control-freak kingdom was in trouble.
They moved in to the Green Movement and took it over. I have a friend, Eric Ellington, who was one of the founders of Greenpeace. And he said, within a year or two, I had to leave, and so many of us did who had founded it, because it had become taken over by Marxist entryists who had seen the Green Environmental Movement as a way of destroying the economies of the West from within by fooling us to shut our own economies down. And he said that to me many years ago. He said, I had to give up and come out. And that was long before they became as nakedly obvious.
Yes.
And
yes, we should point out, look, you've been fighting these people for 15 years, haven't you?
I've been fighting them ever since I first worked for Margaret Thatcher, because they were at that time in the Kremlin. They were buying our miners' union support for a strike against the elected government of Britain. And they had spent £20 million, which in today's money is about $200 million, subsidizing the Marxist faction within our mine workers' union try to disrupt Britain by a series of crippling strikes.
So you learned about them then. We're almost out of time. I'm sorry for interrupting. But now Russia's coming out against the global warming tax. It's almost like things are upside down. We're the USSR, and they're not perfect. But what's your take on Russia?
Well, they are now 20 times more democratic than the European Union is. Of course, you tend to vote at the point of a gun. You tend to have only a limited choice of candidates, and there's a lot of corruption. But their elected parliament, insofar as it is elected, makes the laws for Russia. Our elected parliament no longer makes the laws for us. That's done for us by the commissars, whom we don't elect. So Russia is now more democratic than Britain. I hate to say it, but America is more democratic than almost anywhere else in the world. And I beg you, Alex, I beg you, do not allow America to give up her democracy for this mess of socialist global warming porridge and pottage at Copenhagen. Don't allow your freedom to be taken away.
Lord Monckton, I know it is a Friday evening where you are, and I'd like to say bye to you here during the break if you must leave. If not, we have 5-minute little short segment coming up. We can have 5 more minutes. I'd like to come back, give you the floor with a final statement, or you can do it in the minute we have right now, about seizing on these emails, which is now happening, and really standing up for this battle and making sure that we get back on the offense instead of the defense, because, as you've said, this is 2 minutes to midnight.
It is. It's even later than that. I mean, we're really in the last second before freedom dies. And you must not let it happen. If you're listening to this, you may think, who is this lunatic peer? What does he know about anything? Isn't he just some kind of right-wing extremist nutter? After all, he worked for Margaret Thatcher. We all know what she was like. Well, she was wonderful, and she understood how ordinary people thought and lived and wanted to control their own affairs. And that's what I'm about, too. I think that freedom and democracy and prosperity are very, very, very precious rights,
yes,
that we have been able to look at as rights, but they're not right. They have to be fought for by each new generation.
Stay there, sir. Stay there.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.